Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number three of our program. Welcome back. I'm Russ Brown here on this Thursday. We are talking sports, talking NFL draft. We'll talk a little Braves baseball, too. Braves and Reds tonight, weather permitting, in Cincinnati for game three of the series between Atlanta and the Rednecks. And we will see what happens there with Julio Teherán on the mound for Atlanta. Ozzy Albies day off. Nick Markakis leading off. Camargo playing second, batting sixth. We'll talk more Braves baseball, including, as I said, the anniversary of Ronald Acuna. Happy Ronald Acuna Day. Hard to believe it's been a year since he got brought up. All right, we're talking NFL draft. We're talking Falcons. We are talking sports. And let's get back to the phones here, 478-646-ESPN. Eddie, formerly of Macon, I don't have to explain to you why I'm kind of crazy about what may happen tonight, do I?
Hey, Russ, great show, as always. Thanks for taking my call.
By the way, Russ has been sick and just woke up and told me the first thing he heard after waking up was the call from Lance.
Yeah, I bet that freaked him out a little bit.
So he's freaked out now that I'm introducing myself as Russ Brown. You're calling me Russ Brown. Hell, it's the Russ Brown Show. We're going to get a new intro starting Monday.
No, it's Groundhog Day. It's like that Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day. We got to relive it again. You know, there ain't no telling what they're going to do. You know, you just sit here and get worked up. By the time they make the pick, you know, you...
Yep.
Hell, you can't eat, you can't sleep. You're just sitting around nervous as a cat, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Bill. Patience is a virtue, and they need to just let the draft come to them, deal with what's there, get some good players, and improve this football team. You know, I just think they ought to get them the best offensive lineman they can get with that first pick, stay where they're at, and then work on defense. And I'm really big on Holyfield this year. When I see Holyfield, I swear he reminds me of Curtis Martin, Bill. Curtis Martin wasn't the fastest guy out there, but he was tough. He squared his shoulders up, and I said, Holyfield reminds me of Curtis Martin, and Curtis Martin's a damn Hall of Famer. And they could pick him up a little later in the draft, you know, and I think there's another Bulldog up there that ought to have down a little bit to get a shot at him. That's Gaillard, because that center ain't getting no older up in Atlanta. And I remember after the LSU game last year how Orgeron kept carrying on about how Gaillard was the best center they'd faced all year, you know. And I just like to see the Falcons, you know, get guys that play big boy football and stay away from these guys that played at Nevada and Idaho and places like that. Let's get some guys that we saw on TV every Saturday, you know, going up against big guys playing big boy football. And it's really simple. And they just take something simple and make it real complicated. And now I think they're desperate. And desperate people are scary as hell, Bill.
Well, that, I agree. And, you know, it is a little nerve-wracking of seeing what a desperate GM and coach may do. And that's what worries me about this trade talk, Eddie, because I don't think they need to you know, it sounds cliche, but I think most of us are going to agree with this. They need to let the draft come to them. I don't think they're going to get Quinnen Williams. I think the price for what they'd have to give up would just be out of control, and I just don't think that's the smart thing to do. But if the price is not, I don't know. Quinnen Williams is tempting. That's the one player I think, okay, if you're going to talk about trading a ton of players, yeah, and like you said, we've seen Quinnen Williams, we know him. Now, we don't know Ed Oliver as much, but what we do know of Ed Oliver isn't very positive, is it? I mean, he was getting into it with his coach. That was a nasty scene. But Ed Oliver is Grady Jarrett part two. Why do we want another Grady Jarrett? And with all due respect to Grady Jarrett, the point is, Grady Jarrett is great by himself, but if we have two of them, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Shoot, this Josh Allen talk blows my mind. I watched him, and my feelings are the same as what y'all been speaking of the last 30 minutes. I mean, he was invisible against Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I see Vic Beasley 2.0. You know, it's just too risk. I've talked to you before about they got to start looking at the risk of what they do. We've taken on so much risk in the past, and it's backfired on us and just killed us to a great extent, you know, like the damn Super Bowl and all that. And they just got to use their head, you know. And I've said it on the show more than three or four times. Dimitroff, he's got to have something on Arthur Blank to still have his job, because when you look back at his history, he's killed this team, Bill, with some of the picks he's made. Could have really helped the team, he didn't.
Well, I think the Vic Beasley situation, even more accentuated, Eddie, by the fact that they're keeping him, is what scares us, because they get hooked on these players, and it just seems to not always turn out very, very positively. Is there one player, Eddie, that you look at that you like, wow, I'd really like that player for the Falcons? It's Quinn. Do you think Quinn Williams is worth trading up for?
No, I wouldn't trade up for Quinn Williams, because I remember what a good job our dogs did against him, Bill. I mean, we done a really good job on him in that game that we give him on a silver platter. And I would sit tight and I would go after the best offensive line I could get, preferably a tackle. You know, I like Jonah Williams, I like Juwan Taylor, and I'd take Cody Ford at 14 just for his size.
Yeah.
And get somebody on that offensive line to go. These guys are telling you the defensive line has just stopped through the whole draft.
Yeah.
And we could get some defensive linemen and some linebackers. And this talk about Greedy Williams, that really, you know, if they were to do that, I'd probably turn my TV off, Bill.
Oh. We did it one time at CJ's. Remember when you were there with us? And
yeah,
they
when you
had
walked,
those.
Walked out, you walked out and said, Steve Alford. You had it right before he made the pick. And you walked out to the table and said, Steve Alford. And we didn't even know who Steve Alford was, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Not Steve Alford. What was his name?
Robert. Robert Alford.
I had basketball in the brain. But,
yeah, I know. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen again. Hey, Eddie, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, 478-646 ESPN. That's our number. I mean, there's just the Vic Beasley pick. And, of course, that was the Todd Gurley draft, so you know how we're going to feel about that. You've got, I mean, Vic Beasley was okay. All right, I wasn't like, oh, gross, it's Vic Beasley from Clemson. I thought, okay, let's see. But what's worse than the Vic Beasley pick? By far, is them keeping Vic Beasley now. The Vic Beasley pick was not horrible at 8. He was a good prospect. He had one good year. What's worse is what they're doing now by keeping Vic Beasley. That is plumb negligent. I don't think that's the word. It's just stupid business, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they kept someone and they tied that money up, and they could have had so much financial flexibility to get in more players and prospects, and by gosh, they're going to keep Vic Beasley no matter what. And that's what scares you about them falling in love with Ned Oliver or someone like that. Another Eddie. We're on the Eddie kick again. Let's go to Eddie in Ackworth. All right, I don't have to explain to you. You're like me. I don't have to explain to you why there's nerves involved with the Falcons less than 3 hours before the draft, do I?
I was holding for Russ Brown. Is he available?
Hell, I'm going to get him. I wish I was the one on vacation today.
you might be after tonight's draft pick, like you said, tomorrow, huh? Depending on what they do.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to say, first of all, man, I love listening to you interview. Great interview with Rick Flatford. He's great. I just love listening to his insight. But two things stood out to me that absolutely scared me to death out of that interview. First of which, is he said Matt Ryan is the least optimistic he's been since, what, his second year in the league? Are you freaking kidding me? Now, that is scary, Bill. Think about that for a second. I would think he'd be optimistic going into this year, and he's not? Oh, my gosh.
Because, you know, one reason why, though? He doesn't have a running back worth a flip. And with all due respect to Devontae Freeman, he's coming off concussions. He's coming off two injury-plagued seasons. He's played 16 games since the Super Bowl. That's got to be a worry for the quarterback, doesn't it?
Well, that and the offensive line can't keep him upright.
Right.
He's been getting killed the past couple of years because Dimitroff and Quinn seem to just ignore the offensive line. And say, everything's good here, nothing to see here. You know, there's a fire going on, and they're just trying to cover it up. The second thing he said, and, Bill, this is the Falcons' way, it seems to me, they pull some surprise that none of us expected. You take example, Keanu Neal. Granted, he turned out to be a great pick, but when that pick was made, everybody's like, what? Keanu Neal? That doesn't make any sense, right? Everybody said that. So I think y'all hit on the pick. I think what they're going to do is trade up, and if I say his name wrong, I'm sorry, but they're going to get this Kentucky linebacker, Josh Allen. Is it Josh Allen? Josh Allen. And you nailed it. He absolutely disappeared in the Georgia game because he faced a superior team who's not even on the level of NFL players, right?
Right.
So I think that's exactly what they're going to do. He's a good kid. He's in the SEC. We kind of need a linebacker. I'm telling you, Bill, when y'all said that, I was like, that's what they're going to do right there because nobody's really talking about that. They're going to do something totally unexpected, give up a bunch of draft picks, and get that kid. You watch.
Well,
you watch something like that happen.
Josh, that was the first time I've heard Josh Allen connected to the Falcons, and I am not disputing Rick at all, but it does fall in line with what you're talking about, in that let's say for our benefit here on the show that Rick Flatford did not mention Josh Allen in connection to the Falcons tonight, and all of a sudden they drafted Josh Allen, we would have had to pick our bottom jaw up off the floor in shock.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yep.
I mean, so at least we have a little bit of preparation. If they take Josh Allen, that will be a horrible draft pick. If they trade up and give up anything for Josh Allen, that will be a worse draft pick. And I know it's not fair probably to that kid, and Clay from Kentucky is probably calling right now pissed as hell that we're talking about this, but Eddie, I'm telling you, I am not trying to be smart aleck. I had to text all my buddies and say, where's Josh Allen? Is he hurt? Because he was MIA against Georgia.
That's right. That's all we heard about going into that game was Josh Allen was going to wreck the Dogs and Benny Snell was going to run all over them. And what happened? We shut those two things down, and it wasn't that difficult. It really was not that hard. Bill, what I want tonight is a boring ask. Can I say that on the air? A boring draft. I want a boring draft where we sit there or we maybe even trade back and get out of the first round and we draft an offensive lineman like you're talking about from Oklahoma that nobody cares about and everybody's just bored to tears. That's what we need, a boring draft. If we give up, I swear, if we move up at all, and you're right, the pick is Quinnen Williams. You move up to get him, I'll be thrilled because that's a game wrecker right there. That is a franchise changer. The rest of the top 10 draft picks, I'm sorry, they're not game changers. They're not franchise changers. If you trade up to get anybody other than Quinnen Williams, it's a horrible – no, it's not a mistake. You know what it is? It's the Falcons being the Falcons. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
I know. Eddie, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it as always. And what Eddie said there about surprising us and kind of going back to Rick's discussion about – the kid from Kentucky and whether they would be some kind of surprise like Josh Allen or something, you know, they do need another linebacker. I mean, it's because Duke Riley was not very good, right? I mean, that's the main reason. Duke Riley, second straight year, they took a kid from LSU and he was not very good. So they do need another linebacker. I don't know how good this Foyasade Olakun, or however you pronounce his name. I couldn't do it last year. I can't do it now. I don't know how good he is. He may be the starter right now, that other linebacker spot along with Campbell and Jones. But this is kind of coming into clear view now because of what Rick said about 45 minutes ago and Eddie bringing this up as well, both Eddies. And that is that the Falcons are going to do something we're not going to expect. or they can do something we're not going to expect. And you think about the Keanu Neal pick and the Vic Beasley pick. I mean, we're talking about a lot of defensive picks here. So, yeah, Cody Ford, if he's the pick at 14, the offensive lineman, will be kind of a surprise because we're talking about a defensive head coach. But what if they moved up to get Devin Bush? What if they have secretly fallen in love with Devin Bush and that's who they're going to trade up for? I mean, what if it's Brian Burns from Florida State? I mean, I don't think that fits. And again, I don't know why you would get someone who might be a Vic Beasley type player. But with all this activity on the defensive line of bringing in Tyler Davison, Adrian Claiborne, the Sanat kid's still there, bringing back Rashid Hageman, does that mean they are not going to spend that first round pick on a defensive lineman? And if Greedy Williams is not there at 14, or if, I mean, could they move up to get a linebacker? Back to the phones we go. Sean and Cordell joins us. Hello, Sean.
What's going on?
How are you?
Good, good. I remember when we drafted Neal, and I was kind of upset because I wanted to get Raekwon McMillan from Ohio State, but they didn't. Yep. And then they got Deion Jones in the second round. And we know how that worked out. Perfect.
Right.
Deion Jones is a boss. I think tonight they should get an offensive lineman at 14. You know, if they think Jonah Williams is going to be cooking a little early, then you move up. You know, you can still get a good defensive tackle in the second round. You know, you ain't got to win the first round to win the draft.
Right. Well, you're right, and that's a good point. I think, do you like the Cody Ford kid from Oklahoma?
They had a good O-line last year. That system, I just don't know how that system, you know, how it goes in the NFL.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, he's
out of the shotgun a lot. You know, they don't have the hands in the dirt that much. But not a lot of tackles do these days. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think Ford looks like a decent prospect at tackle. I don't know if he's the 14th best player in the draft. I wonder if you could move back to get him a little bit in the high teens. But yet, I don't, you know, if you're going to move, because I mean, there was a rumor today they were going to move up to get Cody Ford. Why would you do that? And, you know, I mean, I think this kid from Florida, Juwan Taylor, is a better tackle prospect than Cody Ford. If you're going to move up, get him, even though he went to Florida. I mean, my gosh. So, you know, we'll see. Sean, thank you very much. 478-646 ESPN. And I did it. I brought it up. pro-football-reference.com. Falcons draft history. I'm looking back on it now. Last year, I mean, Calvin Ridley was a surprise for me. I didn't think they were going to draft Calvin Ridley out of Alabama at 26. I didn't. I didn't think that was going to be their pick. That was a surprise to me. And let me pull up if I can the 2018 NFL draft. Let's see, 26. They could have had. Well, Sonny Michel would have been nice. There were some. I remember the problem last year was the offensive line that was the offensive linemen that were available. The people thought they were more about second round picks, but they went Calvin Ridley there at 26. Obviously, Sonny Michel was taken at 31, Lamar Jackson at 32, Nick Chubb at 35. You had two offensive linemen right there at 33 and 34 to start the second round, Austin Corbett to Cleveland, Will Hernandez to the Giants. So, but I think we were all kind of surprised that it was Calvin Ridley. Then they went Isaiah Oliver in the second round. Third round was the Sanat kid who just did nothing for me. He did nothing. He's 6'1", 305. Again, another Grady Jarrett type player. You go bring Ed Oliver in with Sanat and Jarrett. That means you bring Ed Oliver in tonight. That means the Sanat pick is stupid, which I think it was anyway. 2 years ago, Tat McKinley. I mean, I wasn't too thrilled about that pick, to be honest with you. I certainly didn't like the show he put on when he got up there on the stage. I was curious about Taco Charlton, who went to Dallas. I was curious about I mean, Reuben Foster's obviously been a mess. I like Cam Robinson. I don't know how he's done at Jacksonville, but I liked him a lot. But McKinley wasn't someone that I went crazy about. Duke Riley's second round was horrible. Sean Harlow was horrible. I mean, that was a horrible draft. Well, the fifth round they got DeMonte Kazee, who's turned out to be somewhat of a decent player. 3 years ago, Keanu Neal, surprise. And as Sean just said, did help that Deion Jones was a second-round pick, which has been a good pick. 4 years ago was Vic Beasley, then Jalen Collins, and that was a disaster. Jalen Collins was a complete disaster. Vic Beasley's been a disappointment. Tevin Coleman's gone. But then you go back, listen to this, and then I'm going to get off this history because we don't want to get depressed. You go back 5 years ago. 5 years ago, Jake Matthews, even they couldn't screw that up. They needed a tackle. They needed a franchise tackle. He fell in their lap at six. Thank God he did. But 37 in the second round is Rashid Hageman. And we were like, what the hell are they doing? I remember even D. Orlando Ledbetter tweeted at the time, that is a reach beyond compare. And now they're bringing him back. Mike and Warner Robins, stop me before I get depressed reading this crap. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Bill, I'm traveling for work. I get in my Uber ride to work this morning, and the guy's like, oh, you like the NFL? I'm like, yeah, Falcon fan. He's like, yeah, I heard they're trading up. Why in the world does this franchise do this to me? I should have burned my jersey in fandom a long time ago, Bill. We're going to reach today, and I agree with Eddie. If they go after Quinnen Williams, fine. I don't know if the track record on Bama D linemen is all that sterling. I mean, some of them have been good, but some of them are busts, but I wish they'd just stay put, Bill. I really wish they'd just stay put. But I think we know that the GM's in the hot seat, the coach is in the hot seat, and they're going to roll the dice because they know they may not be picking next year.
Yeah. And Eddie formerly Mekin said the fact that they're desperate scares you, doesn't it? It scares you.
Well, it's the Julio Jones pick, Bill. I mean, it's like we're going to mortgage the future. And, you know, honestly, the way in the NFL, I mean, Matt Ryan hopefully is going to play till he's 40. I don't think you have to do that here. But also, we got a bunch of bad contracts. And as you just pointed out, the last 2 years in the draft have been pretty stinko. So, I don't know. I personally would go, if you have an Ed Oliver, if you have a D lineman there, you got to take him because that's still a position of need. And you're right on Sanat, probably a wasted pick. But nonetheless, you got to address it. The other position would be corner, Bill, but they trade up for an offensive lineman. Everything I've read is that none of those position groups are, you know, is really that strong. But again, this is Thomas Dimitroff, and you know, if Arthur Blank is upset with the PR that comes in a soft media market for people asking questions about a guy who's basically stunk it up for 12 years, he deserves it. So I'm terrified, Bill. I really am, because I feel like we're going to be in that eighth spot, especially if quarterbacks go early, Bill. If quarterbacks go early and there's a run on quarterbacks and there's those top five Bosa-type players in that, you know, 6, 7, 8 range, Falcons will throw the whole franchise in to get a player.
That does scare me too, Mike. Thank you very much for your call. Yeah, it is a concern, and he brings up a good point about a run on a certain position. I mean, you know, there's been talk that after Kyler Murray, maybe Daniel Jones from Duke slides up there and Haskins is in the top 10. Or someone trades into the top 10 to get a quarterback who may fall in love with Daniel Jones. Washington's been mentioned as a team that could do that. Would that allow someone? But here's the thing I go back to, and this is kind of, I think this is stupid. But if that were to happen, again, I go back to those linebackers. Would they think about going to those linebackers? Don't do that. Just line of scrimmage. If we want to leave the Atlanta Falcons as a fan base, we want to give them a gift for tonight. We got three words for you, Falcons. Lines, plural. Lines of scrimmage. Yes, you got needs everywhere. You got to need a linebacker. You got to need it at cornerback. You got to need a running back. You need an offensive line. You need lines of scrimmage. But not one that's barely 6 foot tall. 478-646 ESPN. We'll take a break. Love to hear your thoughts on the Falcons and on the NFL draft. Back with more on this NFL draft Thursday right after this. By 28 is the time. We're about 2.5 hours away from the NFL draft. We're talking draft. If you want to join us, you can. 478-646 ESPN, 646-3776. Looked on profootballrumors.com to see what's going on there. They just posted a thing 3 minutes ago. The Jets are talking to the Bills about a swap of number 3 for number 9, where the Bills would want Quinnen Williams from Alabama. And that nearly every scenario that the Jets are said to be involved in trading down to number 3, involves teams who want Quinnen Williams to their defensive line. There's also rumor, according to this website, that the Raiders are now being connected to Nick Bosa, who may want to move up to the number 2 spot with San Francisco and take Bosa. Or that the Raiders may have to trade up to number 1 to get Bosa, and would wonder if the Cardinals could still get Kyler Murray at number 4. How about that? That'd be a surprise. Denver, with Vic Fangio being the new head coach, former defense coordinator for the Bears, supposedly really very badly wants Devin Bush to spearhead his linebacking core. Steelers have made calls about possibly trading up for a defender. I saw that earlier, too. And Eagles are looking for a defensive tackle. They may be willing to move up. Giants trying to address pass rusher quarterback needs, maybe secondary as well. So, and again, Ian Rappaport reporting Falcons are one of the teams that have looked into moving in the top 10. Rick Flatford said about an hour ago he's heard top 7. But for whom? For whom? Back to the phones we go. John and Byron, hello.
What's going on, Bill?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I got a question, and this might be a dumb question. It's just because of my lack of ability to keep up with the NFL draft. But I wanted to, what's the status of Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle from Clemson? Is he a possibility? Has he fallen off just because of the suspension, the PED suspension? What's the update on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's dropped off into the second round at least. I mean, I haven't seen him. I've looked for him in some of the mock drafts here, and he's not been in the first round. So, yeah, I think he's fallen off. I was going to look on Casterly's draft board to see if where he is. And he's Charlie Casterly, one of the people I'm looking at the mock draft, has him going 25th to Philadelphia. And I just said Philadelphia needs defensive line help. So, maybe late first round, but nowhere near, I think, where he was projected earlier on in the season. I mean, my God, I remember last summer looking at some stuff to prepare for the college football season, and all those guys on that Clemson defensive line were like top 12 picks at that point. So he's definitely fallen off because of what happened to him.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. But, I mean, I know everybody's been talking about how we don't want to move up. We don't want to trade up unless we're getting Quinnen Williams. Pretty much that's the only option if we trade up. I wouldn't mind trading back. I know you've mentioned that if we could get a Dexter Lawrence, just because, I mean, he's a big man just like Quinnen Williams is. I'm not putting him in that same category, but he is a force to be reckoned with. So I wouldn't mind that. But I wanted to throw something at you, and this might make you mad, Bill, and I'm sorry if it does. But I think you're going to be mad before the night's over with anyway. I think most of us are.
Okay.
So, remember those days when Joey Harrington and Byron Leftwich were our quarterback?
Yes.
I think that's coming soon.
Why is that? Just because you think Matt Ryan's going to be trouble?
No, I don't think it's going to be Matt Ryan that's gone. I think Matt Ryan's going to stay. But I think we're looking at a new GM and a new head coach next year. I think we're going to see a tanking take place. I think Matt Ryan's going to be the only one that sticks around. I think we're going to try to trade just about everybody else off to get draft picks and stockpile draft picks as much as possible.
Okay, but John, here's the thing. I want to answer you by saying that. Here's what's sad, I think, about the current situation with the GM and the coach perhaps being lame ducks, okay? They're lame ducks if they suck this year, right?
Right.
Is that they have 9 picks this year. And if this was a team that didn't have the mindset of, oh, well, last year was an anomaly, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, I think you could see some smart decisions made to set this team up to avoid what you're talking about. But when we're talking about a potential lame duck GM and coach who are desperate to try to hold on to their jobs, they're not going to have that mindset.
Absolutely. And that's the issue is it's going to take a while, just like it did last time before Mike Smith came in. It's going to take a while to get back to the level of football that we've been at. And even though it's not been the best football, it's been some of the best football this town, this city has seen right. in years.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it's just my gut feeling. Matt Ryan is a Falcon for life, and I want him to be that regardless of how bad we are. But outside of him, I think come the next 2-3 years, we're going to see a whole different football team.
That's so you're basically not having much confidence about the next 3 days and subsequently feel that the turnover will start after they suck this year and fire their GM and their coach?
That's my gut feeling. And I think if most Falcons fans were honest with themselves, I think most of them would agree. Let's just be honest. We have a GM that is, you know, full of crap as far as, you know, drafting players and signing yeah. players that are at the skill position, and they forget about the lines of scrimmage. Yet you've right. got a head coach that is a former defensive line coach himself, yet he seems to forget about the line of scrimmage and how important it is. So yeah. I don't think this is the group to do it, and it sucks. I would love to see Matt Ryan, not Julio Jones, not Deion Jones, not Keanu Neal. I want to see Matt Ryan win a Super Bowl in Atlanta. But I am, with each passing day, just thinking probably not going to happen.
Yeah, John, thank you very much. I don't completely disagree with what John just said. He thought I was going to be mad, and here's why. Let me explain this. Number one, I think that Dan Quinn peaked as a head coach at halftime on February the 5th, 2017. I don't think he'll ever get back to where he was at halftime in Houston in Super Bowl 50, whatever it was. I just don't. I don't think he's a good head coach. I think he's a cheerleader. I can't believe that we have a defensive line coach, as John said, a defensive coordinator, and now a head coach who is a cheerleader and not one mean, tough SOB. That's what I like as my coach. One mean, tough SOB. And Dan Quinn is a cheerleader. Dan Quinn is full of bravado and hashtags and BS. This brotherhood stuff is the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. Rick Flatford came on our show about an hour ago and said that he has heard that Matt Ryan is, how did he put it, the least excited, or I can't remember exactly how he termed it, but he basically said that Matt Ryan's not too excited about what he's seeing. Matt Ryan's getting older by the day. And John's point there about the concern of the window closing, we don't know that Matt Ryan is going to fall in line with Drew Brees and Tom Brady and be a great quarterback until he's 42. We ain't got no clue about that. I mean, I pray to God that he does, because as we say here on a regular basis, the day we have to find Matt Ryan's replacement is going to be a horrible day, horrible couple of months leading up to that point. Oh God, the Falcons got to draft a quarterback. Good gosh, help us all. But I don't think Dan Quinn's the player to, or the coach to get this team back to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's a good head coach. And now he's taking it upon himself to not even hire a defensive coordinator, because by gosh, he's going to be the defensive coordinator. Are you kidding? I don't like Dan Quinn as the Falcons head coach. He's not. I didn't like the pick. I didn't get the pick. I didn't get why they gave him so much daggum money. I didn't understand why they gave him so much authority. I appreciated the fact that he got him the Super Bowl in his second year, but he choked. Maybe I simply cannot forgive him for what happened in the third and fourth quarter in Houston, Texas on February the 5th, 2017. Maybe I'm that petty as a 49-year-old man to say that I am so still pissed 2 years and 3 months later that the fact that they were that close to a Super Bowl championship for a team that I've rooted for since I was 9 years old and they choked because of bad coaching. We don't look back on that game as a lot of Super Bowl losing teams do and say we lost the Super Bowl because of blank and talking about a player. And I'm not talking about Arthur Blank. We're not saying we lost the Super Bowl because of Matt Ryan. We lost the Super Bowl. I mean, look, we can complain about Devontae's missed block. Okay. All right. Yeah. It was a bad, bad, bad play. But we're not going to sit here and tell you that we lost the Super Bowl because of Devontae Freeman not being able to block. We lost the Super Bowl because of the most piss-poor coaching you will ever see in your natural-born life. There is no other way to describe it. There's no other way to you know, if in 20 years somebody asks you, tell me again why the Falcons lost the Super Bowl. You're only going to say one thing. You're going to say one word. Coaching. So I don't have confidence in Dan Quinn. And Thomas Dimitroff's been here 12 years. Like Eddie, formerly of Macon, said, why? Why? Why has he been here for 12 years? I just went through the list a minute ago of questionable picks. Go back to last year. Now, Kevin really turned out to be a good pick, all right? But Isaiah Oliver wasn't a good second-round pick. Maybe, of course, he still has time to develop into something. But right now, we look at that second-round pick last year and say Isaiah Oliver was not a good pick. DeAndre Sinnott, third pick out of South Florida. He wasn't a good third-round pick. Ito Smith, fourth rounder, okay, he's all right, nothing special. The best pick of last year to this point is probably the sixth round pick, Foyosadi Olakunu, and I can't even pronounce his daggum name. He's probably the best one. You go back 2 years ago, Duke Riley, second rounder, flop. Third rounder, I'm sorry, flop. Fourth rounder, Sean Harlow, offensive lineman, flop. So when we're sitting here dreading the first round of the NFL draft tonight, and you hear all these phone calls of all these Falcons fans calling up and having the same kind of tone that I do, unfortunately, forgive us, but we've been through this before. And we know to expect something that could turn out to be a dumpster fire. And maybe that's what it has to happen for them to get those two out of there. Because maybe this team and this franchise is not going to be really worth what we want it to be, even in the end of Matt Ryan's career, until those two get out of there. And that's crossed my mind, too. We're going to take a break, come back. More of your phone calls as we continue here on this Draft Day Thursday right after this. .546 the time. Thanks for being with us. We are talking sports, NFL draft, a lot of talk about that. Of course, we're about 2 hours away from the draft. So let's hear from you, 478-646 ESPN. Back to the phones we go, and we got Jeremy in Memphis. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Bill. I want to talk Braves at the end, but first of all, about the Falcons. You know, Dimitroff is a clown, Bill. You know, the last couple of years, I forget what year it was, but we were down to 5 draft picks because he trades up every year and trades picks away. And then this year, so I just looked at the mock draft just before I called you, and they have us picking Bush at 14. The two guys I would want to get is either Sweat or Wilkins. They have Wilkins going 13 to the Dolphins and Sweat going 9 to Buffalo. So if you think and lose the last game, we have either one of those guys. But you know, even if they're not available, you cannot trade up and you cannot give away draft picks this year. Now, I heard the Rams want to move out of their spot at 31. I don't mind the Falcons moving, giving up their second and another later pick, but I heard that they would take something like that to move it to the end of the first round and maybe get Baker or a defensive back or something with the 31
pick. Well, they may be able to get Greedy Williams there, you know.
I don't mind moving up right there, but I don't want to move up when we're 14. I don't mind getting the 31 pick for the rounds. I think that's good to get that and maybe get a defensive back at 31. But this guy, it was plain and simple, lose the ball game. And I don't fault Quinn, because Quinn wants to win. He's trying to save his job. I don't fault Quinn for winning the last game. But Dimitrov could have been, like you said, we're playing these guys, we're going to lose this football game.
Well, it was a costly win, and I know it's hard for teams to, you know, the players on that team didn't care about the draft position. We know that, you know that, but still, and not that you do anything to, it was the bragging about it, though, that bothered me more than anything, Jeremy. It was like Quinn was just bragging about the fact, oh, we finished 7-9. What do you freaking do? You missed the playoffs, you screwed your draft position up. That's nothing to boast about. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me not like him.
Yeah, but when you're down two scores in a third quarter, I just say, look, Oliver, you're going to play quarterback the rest of the ball game. We're taking guys out. Oliver should have started the last two games and played every freaking snap on defense to see what we have against Carolina. Definitely. You should have played every single snap in the last two ball games. That's what you do when you're out of the playoffs and you want to see what you have and you want to take gracefully, basically, not just totally try to take. You play guys to see what you have. And I mean, Dimitrov, that could have came down for Dimitrov. We're playing these guys. But he didn't do that.
I know. It's disappointing for sure. Well, you want to talk about the Braves real quick?
I want to talk about a couple of prospects. Pache and Waters, Bill, they're actually killing it at Double-A right now. No one in Thopolis, since they've had a good month, they'll be in Atlanta in 2 months if you jump their body fast. They should stay down there for a while, but the point is they're killing it right now, which is a good thing.
Well, they are, and Austin Riley had a home run today, which is good, and Colby Aller pitched well today, which is good. But, no, Waters and Pache, I think the combination of the two of them is what's probably been the biggest story of the farm system so far in the first 3 weeks of the season, and it's great. I mean, it's a great thing because I read a story today. You want to go read, Jeremy, the Jeff Passan article on Acuna, which was great, talking about, obviously, his 1 year in the big leagues and how great it is. And he even mentioned Pache and Waters and the fact that they could be two more all-star outfielders out there. And, you know, what scares me about what you just said in them moving up is the fact that Ender is awful right now. And that if Ender Inciarte, if he continues to struggle and Pache and or Waters continue to do well, that's going to become more of a possibility. And whatever is for the team is best is great, but I want for those two to be ready because I think we got two special. If you got two 20-year-olds, Jeremy, in Double-A doing what they're doing, that's special.
Well, it didn't surprise me that Pache's in the way he is. But Waters is just, I mean, a few days ago, he's in like 340. He's cooled off a little bit. But, I mean, and that is the main reason why I didn't want Bryce Harper. Do I want Bryce Harper over Acuna, yes or no? No. Do I want Bryce Harper over Pache, yes or no? No. And so it comes down to one more position. Do I want Bryce Harper over Drew Waters? I didn't want that because Drew Waters is 6 years younger than Harper, and Harper's not doing good this year. 265, I think he struck out three more times last night, and that's going to go down one of the worst contracts ever. He's not even hitting well now. They got to have him for 12 more years after this year. They're going to regret they ever did that. But anyway, Waters, Pache, and Acuna, I take that any day over having Bryce Harper in my outfield.
Well, I hope that Alex Anthopoulos does nothing stupid and trades Waters or Pache because I think the trio of those three is special. And you put Austin Riley at third base, and you have Dansby and Ozzy there in the middle with Freddie on the other corner. I mean, look, I know this may be unrealistic, but if you've got Contreras the catcher, Freddie, Ozzy, Dansby, Riley, and then the three outfielders we're talking about, Acuna, Pache, and Waters, as far as young talent for the 2020s, that's setting your next decade up for one hell of a run, in my opinion, and I hope it happens. I really do. All right, Jeremy, hey, thank you. We appreciate it. And I want to mention here right before we go to break, Acuna, a year ago today was when Acuna was brought up. And again, if I just said this, I want to repeat it again. Jeff Passan on ESPN.com had a great article about the first year of Ronald Acuna and how great he's been and the fact that he now is in the conversation right now, today, a year after being promoted to the big leagues, is in the conversation for being one of the best players in the sport. And the one calendar year since he's been an Atlanta Brave, he's hit .295, 32 home runs, 80 runs batted in, 152 hits and 516 at-bats, 18 stolen bases, a .375 on-base percentage, a .544 slugging percentage, and a .929 OPS. And the OPS is on-base percentage plus slugging percentage. That's in 134 games. That's 28 games shy of a full year. Mark Bowman had this on Twitter today. I'll repeat this. Since Acuna's debut a year ago today, his .929 OPS is the eighth best in baseball. Mike Trout's number one, 1.092. Acuna, .929. So he's obviously had a great first year, and I think there's more to come. He's had a tremendous debut for baseball, and I think he's one of the best players in the game right now. By the way, you may have read about the comments that Chris Welch, the Reds announcer, made last night when he was on the air talking about Ozzie Albee's contract and insinuating and saying even that someone from Curacao may not know the difference between $85 and $35 million, which it was a really stupid thing to say. Chris Welch has apologized to Ozzie. He sought him out in the clubhouse this afternoon and apologized to Ozzie for those comments. All right, Braves and Reds coming up here soon. We're monitoring the weather there, but the Braves and the Reds are coming up. We are also 2 hours from the NFL draft. You want to get your thoughts in. Get them in next segment now. Who should the Falcons draft? What will happen? And are you as scared as the rest of us about the Falcons draft? 478-646-ESPN at Bill Shanks on Twitter. We'll take a break, back with more sports talk as we continue here on the Bill Shanks Show.